Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Globalists by Quinn Slobodian is a work of intellectual and political history that rethinks neoliberalism by shifting attention from national politics to the design of the world economy. Rather than presenting neoliberal thinkers as simple advocates of small government, the book traces how a network of economists, lawyers, and policy intellectuals associated with the Geneva School responded to decolonization, the breakup of empires, and demands for economic sovereignty in the mid to late 20th century. Slobodian argues that many neoliberals sought not to eliminate the state, but to build legal and institutional frameworks above the nation-state that could protect markets from democratic pressures, redistribution, and protectionism. The narrative connects debates over trade, investment, currency, and development to the creation and reinforcement of global rules and organizations. Accessible yet academically grounded, the book illuminates how ideas about order, governance, and freedom traveled through conferences, think tanks, and policy battles, shaping institutions that still structure globalization today. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, neoliberalism as a project to govern the world economy. A central contribution of the book is reframing neoliberalism as a program for constructing and maintaining global economic order, not merely a domestic agenda of deregulation. Slobodian emphasizes that key neoliberal thinkers focused on how to keep markets functioning when democratic politics, labor movements, and newly independent states demanded greater control over trade, capital, and resources. In this account, the priority was insulation, protecting the price system, and cross-border exchange from what they viewed as destabilizing political interventions. That goal pushed neoliberals to think in terms of rules, arbitration, and institutions that could sit above the nation-state and constrain policy choices. The emphasis on global governance clarifies why neoliberal ideas became closely intertwined with international law, trade regimes, and technocratic policymaking. It also challenges simplistic narratives that portray neoliberalism as anti-state, showing instead an interest in strong frameworks that discipline states in particular ways. This lens helps readers understand globalization as a deliberately designed order, shaped by intellectual debates about sovereignty, legitimacy, and the boundaries of democracy in economic life. Secondly, decolonization, the end of empire, and the crisis of economic sovereignty, Slobodian places decolonization at the heart of the neoliberal story. As empires dissolved, dozens of new states asserted economic sovereignty through nationalization, development planning, import substitution, and calls for a more equitable global economy. These demands threatened established patterns of trade and investment and raised the prospect that majorities within nations could reshape economic outcomes through democratic politics. The book explores how neoliberals interpreted this moment as a crisis for capitalism and for the security of property across borders. They worried that political independence would be paired with economic nationalism, and that international markets could fracture into competing blocs. By centering decolonization, the narrative connects neoliberal thought to debates over development, resource control, and the legitimacy of redistributive claims on a global scale. The reader sees neoliberalism reacting not only to labor and social democracy in the West, but also to post-colonial projects seeking autonomy and structural change. This approach illuminates why global economic rules became a battlefield over who gets to decide economic policy, national electorates, post-colonial governments, or supranational institutions. Thirdly, the Geneva School and the idea of encasing markets, the book highlights a circle of thinkers often associated with the Geneva School, linked to institutions like the Graduate Institute in Geneva and networks around Mont Pelerin. Their distinctive move was to argue that markets need protective shells, legal and constitutional arrangements that prevent democratic majorities from rewriting the rules of exchange. Slobodian presents this as an effort to reconcile capitalism with mass politics by relocating key economic decisions away from parliaments and toward rule-bound regimes. Encasing markets can take many forms: independent central banking, strong protections for foreign investors, limits on industrial policy, and international adjudication mechanisms. This is not the language of laissez-faire spontaneity, it is a blueprint for disciplined governance. By tracing how these ideas evolved through mid-century debates over planning, inflation, and trade, the book clarifies why neoliberalism could be compatible with robust institutions, expert authority, and legalism. The concept also helps readers interpret modern controversies over trade agreements and investor-state dispute settlement as part of a longer attempt to define what democratic politics may and may not touch in economic life. Fourthly, international law, trade regimes, and the architecture of globalization, another major theme is the construction of international economic institutions as the practical expression of neoliberal priorities. Slobodian shows how legal frameworks and organizations can serve as tools to standardize rules, reduce uncertainty for capital, and constrain national experiments that deviate from market-oriented norms. Trade regimes, monetary arrangements, and investment protections become more than technical solutions. They are political technologies that shape what states can do. The book connects intellectual arguments to institutional battles over tariffs, capital controls, currency stability, and the governance of cross-border commerce. By emphasizing law and institutions, it explains how power operates through procedures, dispute mechanisms, and standards, rather than only through overt coercion. Readers gain a clearer view of why globalization has been so resilient. It is embedded in treaties and bureaucracies that outlast individual governments. This topic also helps decode contemporary debates about whether international organizations erode sovereignty or provide necessary coordination. Slobodian encourages seeing these bodies as contested sites designed with particular assumptions about markets, property, and the acceptable limits of democratic economic planning. Lastly, Democracy, Inequality, and the Politics of Limits, the book ultimately raises a question that extends beyond history. What happens when democratic demands for security and equality collide with global rules built to protect market openness? Slobodian portrays many neoliberals as wary of mass politics, especially when voters support redistribution, labor protections, or industrial policy that might restrict capital mobility and trade. The solution they favored was not the abolition of democracy, but the imposition of boundaries around it, ensuring that certain economic fundamentals remain off the table. This sheds light on how inequality and political backlash can be linked to institutional design. When citizens experience economic dislocation, yet find key levers of policy constrained by external commitments, distrust and populist anger can intensify. The book helps readers connect historical arguments about sovereignty and order to present-day conflicts over austerity, globalization, and national policy space. It also encourages a more nuanced critique rather than viewing neoliberalism as simply pro-business. It can be seen as a theory of governance that prioritizes predictability for markets, even at the cost of reducing democratic responsiveness. This topic makes the book valuable for readers trying to understand the tensions inside contemporary liberal democracies. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want a deeper explanation of globalization than the usual story of free markets winning the Cold War. Students and scholars of political economy, international relations, and modern history will find a rigorous argument, while policy-minded readers will benefit from seeing how today's institutions emerged from earlier struggles over sovereignty and decolonization. The main life benefit is conceptual clarity. Globalists helps readers recognize that many economic constraints people experience are not accidental outcomes of technology or inevitability, but the product of deliberate choices about rules, law, and institutional authority. That perspective can sharpen how you evaluate trade deals, investment protections, central bank independence, and the promises and limits of national economic policy. Compared with similar books that focus mainly on leaders, elections, or domestic reforms, Slobodian stands out by tracing the international and legal architecture that makes neoliberalism durable. The emphasis on the Geneva School and the idea of encasing markets provides a coherent framework for linking ideas to institutions without reducing everything to conspiracy or simplistic market worship. For anyone trying to understand why global economic governance is so hard to change, this book is worth buying. If you would like to support Quinn Slobodian, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.